Welcome to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. My name is Tim Rocky, and I'm here for you with all of the sports news, jazz, blues you can handle. It is a wonderfully bluesy Tuesday. We are going to kick it to some Boston-themed music before we have Mr. Kevin Feeley on for an interview about Boston sports. So keep it tuned right here, 89.5 FM. Kevin, can you hear me?
I can. What's up, Tim?
Not a whole lot, man. I am enjoying my time here in Palmer, Alaska. It's a little gloomy, probably not quite as warm as it is there where you're at. Tell the listeners where you're at, who you are, what you like, what kind of sports teams you're into.
Yeah, so I'm Kevin Feeley. I live out in Boston, Massachusetts, formerly lived in Palmer. I am a diehard Red Sox fan. I really like all sports, but baseball is my, I live and breathe it, so.
So tell me about your beginnings as a diehard baseball fan, such as myself. It's not something that's nearly as popular as it once was. It's not something that's always easy to do, especially in Alaska when there's such a short baseball season. What was your, kind of your first memory as a baseball fan? What really got you into it?
Yeah, so family. My family's been in Boston since the late 1800s, so they've been around for really all of it. But my grandfather was the biggest Red Sox fan I have ever met. I mean, you can't outdo it. Born and bred in Boston, never left. All I really remember of him was baseball, and that's it, you know. But growing up, we used to go down to Fenway and catch a game or sit around the house and watch it, and that just kind of, it was ingrained in me from the beginning, so that's it.
So what was it like playing ball? Where did you first pick up a baseball and start tossing around? What became of your baseball career? What was it like for you as a player as opposed to being a fan?
Yeah, so, playing in Alaska when I, lived out in Palmer was depressing, I think, if you're a diehard baseball fan and you love playing, because there's not a lot of time you can play, you know. Summer's nice because you can throw the ball around late, but, when you get into the colder months, it's not like the kids that grew up in California and Florida and Arizona. So, I think that kind of could have been better if I lived somewhere else. But, I think if you have a love for baseball, you're going to find a way to get around it.
So, pre-2004, I believe we were, 12 years old when Boston won the World Series for the first time in 86 years. So, pre-2004, what were the difficulties of being a Red Sox fan, and what was it like to walk around with the B on the hat on your head all the time? And, it was probably me most of the time giving you crap for it, but have people say, you know, why are you a Red Sox fan? They never win. What was that like?
Right. I mean, I think growing up, you know, I was born in 1992, so growing up, I had never seen them been a very good team. A lot of people kind of saw the Red Sox as, you know, similar to the Cubs. They just lose, and that's what they do, right? That's probably how it's always going to be. But pre-2004, it was also a different time, you know, because there was something about the fight and the hunger and the lust for that win. And once we got it, I mean, 86 years later, you know, the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry sort of died down. A lot of things changed. But pre-2004, I think that defines a really good organization and a good fan group. You know, so it's very, very different.
So you talked about some of those differences. What was it about that team that you think really enabled we're the idiots Red Sox to be the ones that broke the curse of the Babe?
Yeah, I think it all came down to timing and just the correlation of players. I mean, you had David Ortiz. We could not have done it without him. You know, Manny Ramirez, we had some of the best pitching out there, the bloody sock, all that. So I think everything just finally pieced itself together and it worked itself out. You know, 86 years is a long time.
Did you ever, I'm thinking of the Aaron Boone home run right now, but did you ever have a moment where you thought, I love this team so much, but this is just so painful, I don't want to be a fan anymore? Or were you a Sox fan through thick and thin and you never had any doubts?
Yeah, so that was it. I mean, it was either way, right? They win or they lose, I'm a fan forever. You know, I was kind of planning for it to be like that forever, and that was just kind of how it is. And I think Cubs fans are like that too until last year. But I think that there's just so much that you can really take until you get frustrated. But I whether they win or lose, I'm a fan always. And I think the real Red Sox fans are going to be like that.
So describe to me in, you know, radio-appropriate language. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Describe to me in radio-appropriate language your hatred for the Yankees and what it's like to go up against the evil empire.
Well, it's frustrating because they were good. They were good, but they were dirty. You know, I cannot tell you how much I disrespect A-Rod. That's kind of like the face of the organization. You know, he was, I'm trying to put this in a radio appropriate language, but it's frustrating, you know.
He was the highest paid, he was the highest paid player on the most expensive team in baseball history. There's, you know,
right.
He kind of earned that reputation himself.
I think his attitude earned him a lot of his reputation too. It depends on who you're looking at. Funny little tidbit. My brother was working at P.F. Chang's downtown Boston, and they came in, and my brother was his server, and he actually asked my brother for somebody not to look at him in the restaurant. No eye contact.
That is, you know, I liked A-Rod up until he went to Texas, and then I lost a lot of respect for him. He had the whole steroids thing. He, you know, talent-wise, he had it all there, but it's tainted because you don't know if any of it was clean. And he was a jerk the whole time. He wasn't polite with reporters or fans or anybody. He was there to get money and try to break a record. And he didn't break a record. And I don't really care about his money. So
here's my thing with that is I don't care about the steroids. I really don't care. Take them. Hit the ball. I don't care. But be, you know, like, here's the thing, right? You have Derek Jeter and you've got A-Rod.
Mm-hmm.
It really pains me to say it, but I do love Derek Jeter. He's a stand-up guy, he's a good ball player, and he's respectful. You know, I think if A-Rod's persona was a little different, it'd be a different mentality, but it's not.
Derek Jeter actually bought the Miami Marlins today as a member of a group with Jeb Bush, a failed presidential candidate, one of the many Bush brothers. He, you know, Derek Jeter, when we were growing up and there were those three shortstops that I can remember that I emulated, there was Nomar Garciaparra, And for those of you who don't speak Fenway, that would be Nomar Garciaparra, Alex Rodriguez, and Derek Jeter. And A-Rod became the power guy. Nomar got hurt too early in his career. I think he ended up as a first baseman in L.A. by the end of it. And Derek Jeter was the last one that stuck with it. I remember watching Yankees games and thinking, man, if Alex Rodriguez hadn't been a jerk and hadn't gotten hurt, he could be the shortstop of the Yankees right now and say, I'm better than Derek Jeter. I'm worth more than Derek Jeter. But he just did it with class. He hustled out every ground ball. He wasn't the face of any controversy. You know, even as somebody, I hate the Yankees because I love baseball. I'm not a Red Sox fan per se. I'm a Cardinals fan. But there is something very villainous about the New York Yankees, the field that they play in, the people that they're run by. And Derek, I just have nothing but respect for Derek Jeter. Also, he started the Players Tribune, which is written solely by professional athletes. And it's one of the better publications and the only one of its kind that is out there. It's one of my favorite clickbait sites to go to just because it's whatever they're publishing is going to be something that is real that I haven't heard anywhere else. And so I have nothing but respect for Derek Jeter, which is completely contrasted from A-Rod. All right, we are going to take a quick break before we come right back with more Red Sox baseball, Boston sports talk, what have you, with me, Tim Rocky, and Kevin Feely. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.5 FM.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowin', but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hand, touching hand. Reaching out, touching me, touching you. The night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
So we are here on the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I'm Tim Rocky, and we are talking with Kevin Feely. Kevin, how's your Tuesday going, man?
It's going good. It's actually, you said it's rainy out there.
Yeah, it's a little rainy. It's trying to rain. It's just gloomy out here, but
yeah,
I'll get over it.
I was going to the Red Sox Yankees game today, but that got rained out. I got tickets for tomorrow too, so.
So I've never been. I've never been inside Fenway. Let's just go ahead and gush. You get as poetic as you want. You know, bring out your thickest Fenway accent, whatever. What's the vibe like inside Fenway? There's, you know, the Green Monster. There's people that have probably been going to those games for their entire lives. You've got Sweet Caroline playing in the seventh inning, and the whole stadium is yelling out, bop, bop, bop. What's it like to take in a game at Fenway? It is the oldest stadium in Major League Baseball, I believe.
It is, yeah, from 1912, I think. And actually, it's one of the only teams that doesn't have a corporate name, too, which I respect the hell out of. But I got to say, Fenway Park is by far the best park to walk into. I mean, there's an energy to it. You walk in, you can just feel the past greats through there. I mean, you got people like Ted Williams, you know, you got Yaz, all the way up to David Ortiz. I mean, it's been a home of pain, sorrow, love, family. It's not, you know, when people say baseball is just baseball, I laugh because they obviously haven't been to Fenway and they haven't experienced all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but walking into Fenway, it's, you know, you got the, they've got new additions. They actually just added a new row out in center right field. But other than that, I mean, it's just, you can feel it, you know, it's, you walk in, you hear all the, you know, water, get your waters here. You know, walking outside, scalpers down Yawkey Way or down Lansdowne Street. It's just, yeah, you know, and when they play Sweet Caroline, there is not a time that I'm there that I don't get goosebumps during that part.
Wow.
You know, and I go to probably, you know, 30 games a year.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
There's just something special about it. Yeah.
I'm very, very jealous. So talk to me about the moment that you first knew that the Red Sox were World Series. What was it like in 04? You know, tell me in all the gory details. Were you weeping? Were you, you know, screaming out Keith Foulke's name? What was going on?
Right. Yeah. So, it was, and here's a little story for you too. This is, one of the best baseball stories you'll hear. So like I said, my grandfather was a huge, huge, huge Red Sox fan, diehard. I mean, this guy was something else. And, he died 2 days after the World Series.
Wow.
Two or three days after. He was 92 years old. I mean, he watched them win way back, and then 86 years, the most diehard fan, getting crushed every year. And 2004, we were living in Palmer, and my grandfather and, you know, my mother's side of the family still out here in Boston. And he got a little sick, so we decided to fly out there, and it was right after they, you know, the whole stuff was going on with the Yankees and everything. And Red Sox knocked out the Yankees and they go to the World Series. Incredible. And then my grandfather gets sick, goes into the hospital, and his condition was just getting worse and worse and worse every day. But, you know, in that, when they started to win, you could, you know, he would listen to the games, and when they won, it was like, it was incredible. He was so out of it that he wasn't really himself, but he would come in and out and he'd ask, did they win? Did the Sox win? And we'd say, yeah, like they won. And his, you would see on his heart monitors, you know, his heart rate go down a little bit and he'd relax. And it
wow.
was, yeah, it was something else. And it was actually, so it was Halloween when he died, because that's when they had the parade, and he was at Mass General Hospital. And the parade route last second was switched. Something happened with the route and they had to move it. So it actually got, it was re-coordinated and it went right in front of his hospital room. So he died that day with the parade going by his hospital room. I mean, it's bizarre how the timing of it, you know.
That is so cool. I always try to connect sports to how people can get by with everyday life in some way throughout the show, not just talking about stats or, you know, uniforms or contracts or whatever, but the human aspect of sports and what it really means to be so into something that it's your whole world, it's your whole life. And to right. hear something like that, you know, your grandfather was so into the Sox and actually got to see two World Series. He's probably one of a handful of people who got to see the Sox win two World Series before, you know, they rattled off a couple there in the last
right.
In the last 10 years. That's what this show's about right there for me, is not talking about David Ortiz's greatness compared with, you know, other Red Sox sluggers, or was Manny being Manny too many times, but hearing that there was a family of people that came together, that got to see, you know, somebody that they cherished, see the second Sox World Series is just absolutely awesome to me. So, switch gears a little bit. Yes or no, is David Ortiz the best left-handed Sox hitter of all time? Because there's some names up there, man. There's Yaz, there's Ted Williams, the splendid splinter, the last man to hit 400 in a season. But David Ortiz, I know, especially for younger Sox fans, holds that special place where he was so clutch so many times. He did it for so long, pretty much, and I mean, especially with the shift. If the shift had been employed while Ted Williams was a hitter, I don't know that he goes down as the great player that he was in that degree. Obviously, he's one of the greatest hitters right. of all time, but if there were people that knew to play the shift on Ted Williams all the time, I don't know that he goes the other way. And David Ortiz for years was just saying, I dare you to try to throw me something inside, and even yeah. if you've got six fielders over there in that side, I'm going to hit a double to the gap. It's just going to happen.
Right.
How great was David Ortiz as far as the list of greatest Red Sox of all time?
So I've been to Fenway all my life, pretty much every year, right? Tons of games, as many as I can get to. And there's never been such an intense energy when he comes to the plate, even when he's just standing on deck and he sits there and he's taking his warm-up swings. I don't care if it's midseason. I don't care if it's playoffs. There was something that David Ortiz brought to that park that nobody else has done. So I got to go ahead and say that because of all the modern transformation that baseball turned into with the shift and with, you know, all sorts of different regulations, I would have to say that, yeah, he is. And not just because of how great he was at hitting, but the timing of when he could hit. You know, I'm afraid that we're not going to find somebody that's as clutch as him ever again. You know, there's just something that he brought that nobody else could, and I don't think that it's replaceable. I think you just have to figure something else out. So, yes, I think he is.
So let's move toward the current Red Sox roster and ask you some questions about the Red Sox as they put the team out today. So who's your favorite young? We'll eliminate pitchers on this, but who's your favorite young player? Right. You've got a guy like Xander Bogaerts, who came in as a defensive specialist and is now one of the better offensive weapons in the league. Andrew Benedetti is very exciting to watch. Mookie Betts. I mean, the Red Sox are almost going through the transformation that the Yankees are going through, where the Yankees tried to buy a championship there for a couple years in a row. It failed, and they've been eating contracts for a couple years now, and they've got guys who have come through their farm system who are homegrown guys in that lineup leading them toward the future. And the Red Sox are nearly at that point. They've, you know, Pedroia is a legend, obviously, but a lot of young guys who are out there making their name with the Red Sox that came up with right. the Red Sox. Who's your favorite young guy right now?
So, hands down, Andrew Benintendi. I mean, this kid is fire. I mean, the thing is, we've been trying to find a set left fielder. And we've just kind of cycled through a lot of people. But I think that we've found our left fielder. He's young. He's, what, 22, 23?
He's 22, 5'10", 180, right. and making a yep. living playing professional baseball.
Right. Yeah. So he was great in high school. I think he only played 63 games of minor league ball before being called up. I mean, this kid is 22, fresh into the league. Opening day hits a deep shot, and he's not known as a power hitter. I mean, he is, but he's not, you know, he's not Mookie Betts, he's not Hanley Ramirez, he's not Xander Bogaerts. But he, yeah, I'd have to say Andrew Benintendi. I'm really excited to see where this goes. And, you know, coming out of Arkansas, you know, he played for the Razorbacks, and then I think he is going to be a star. So
last question, and we'll get you off on this one. Thanks so much for having a conversation with me about baseball, Kevin. It's been a long time, but this is awesome. This is the highlight of my week. So your pitchers, you guys have started to go after some bigger name pitchers. Signed Chris Sale this offseason, signed David Price last offseason. Is that the right move? And is Chris Sale going to play up to his contract, or is he going to end up being a bust and some money that Boston ends up eating?
Yeah, so I love Chris Sale. I like his attitude. Back when he cut the jerseys up in Chicago, it's kind of not a typical behavior, but I like it. He's into the game. He's a great pitcher, and I think he's gonna do great. The thing is, he's pitching hot. He's pitching really well, but can we get the hitting around to make it worth it? You know, I mean. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox have money. It's not unlimited, but money's not everything. I think that we learned a lot last year when it comes to pitching in the bullpen and just making decisions. I mean, I was at that game when they gave up 22 runs to the Angels.
Holy cow!
Clay Buckles. I mean, that was kind of the epitome of Clay Buckles. It was just like, yeah. Oh my gosh, this guy. But, I think David Price, I think that we need to focus on what's going on. You know, there's a lot of injuries happening right now. You can't win if you can't pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm really pumped about, you know, David Price if he gets better. So far, I don't think he's been worth the money. But, you know, it's not the first time. I remember we were probably 11 or 12 years old when they brought Daisuke Matsuzaka.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's nothing new. I think that with the some of the changes that we have with coaching in the bullpen, I think he'll pay off.
All right, thank you so much for talking Boston sports with me, Kevin. Good to talk to you. And if anybody's interested, what station they heard this interview on? What station they listening to?
Radio Free Palmer, 89.7, Big Cabbage Radio.
Thank you.